and I will be your host for this episode of Infotainment. I will be your round mound of podcast sound, pound for pound, the best podcast around. First up, I would like to welcome everybody's body to this episode of Infotainment. And I would also like to say, please keep your prayers in mind of those folks that have been affected by the crazy tornado activity that involved like six states. It was just a horrible chain of events. First up, the guy who at the Acme Comedy Club who said I was trying to act like Seinfeld during my stand-up gig. I guess I'm going to act a little like Seinfeld this time. What do you think about smart TVs that if you're watching a program on, say, Netflix, maybe this is Netflix, maybe this is a TV that asks you if you are still watching the program after like three or four episodes. If I wasn't watching the television, I wouldn't have it on. I wouldn't have it on Netflix. You don't have to ask me if I'm still watching the television program that I have turned on. Just amazing. Smart TVs or Netflix can be sort of dumb sometimes. But I was going to talk about, for those of you who suffer from bipolar disorder, as I do, bipolar 1, and have anxiety that comes along with it, I've found a thing that helps at nighttime on YouTube. There are fireplaces that run for like 8 to 10 hours where you can hear crackling sounds of a fireplace along with nature sounds or running water or music. And I run those when I go to sleep at a volume that's good for me. And it is really peaceful because for like 5 years I lived in Southwest Missouri in a little town called Granby, Missouri, where I spent my junior high years and a couple years at East Newton High School. I had a house that did have a fireplace and grew to love it. I wish I had a real fireplace at this time. But for those of you who have anxiety, you might give that a look on YouTube. Outdoor fires, fireplaces, very relaxing for you. But I, talking about that, I'm going to do a story about, well, going to sleep. And this story talks about, should you make your bed? Which I do not like to do because there's no one here to see it. Let's move on to that. People love the expression, you've made your bed, now lie in it, but you never hear its corollary, you've lain in your bed, now make it. If there's one thing I'm good at, it's sleeping in beds. I was a shoo-in for an Olympic medal in sleeping in 1980, a chance I lost when the United States boycotted the games in Moscow. All that training, all those sleepful nights, all for naught. What I'm not so good at is making a bed. From the moment I left the crib, making a bed struck me as a wasted effort. Why make a bed when you're only going to have to unmake it that night? Yeah, I'm a restless sleeper, and the cover, the blankets are all tore up in the morning, every which way but Sunday. This argument cut no ice with my parents. They were more crushed ice types anyway. I'd rather them in the living room and present what I thought was a bulletproof argument, only to have them respond, you know, in the time it took you to set up the dry erase board and hand out the memos, you could have made your bed. I had similarly disappointing results with my "why clean my room when it's only going to get dirty again" campaign. Well, I don't go that far, but making the bed, not a fun thing to do. It's a chore, but, you know, it can be done in a limited amount of time. But those childhood traumas stick with you. Make your bed, clean your room, eat your peas. Make your room, eat your bed, clean your peas. I never had to clean peas. This bed making animus followed me into adulthood when I lived alone in college, and just after I could do what I liked and not do what I didn't like, the result was, well, I think the technical term is squalor. Well, I wouldn't do that. I'm not a hoarder, thank God. I once went so long without changing my sheets, let alone making my bed, that I created my own shroud of Turin. Oh, jeez. Yeah, I'll wash your sheets once in a while there, dude. And then I got married. My lovely wife turned out to be a bed maker. What's it take? She'd say 30 seconds. Well, it takes a little bit more than that, at least for me. But it's the principle, I would say. Making the bed is giving in. It's what the man wants you to do. John, you're 26. You are the man. That was 33 years ago. I've been making the bed ever since. I haven't always done the best job, but I've made the effort. Well, good for you. Pull the sheet up, pull the blanket up, pull the comforter up, plump the pillows. Hopefully, not a My Pillow guy from that lunatic, but guess what? Though experts now say you should not make your bed, apparently microscopic dust mites, the kind that feed on scales of human skin, love the warm, dark embrace of a neatly made bed. Leaving the bed unmade and exposing the sheets to light can cause the mites to dry up and die. This research from London, Kingston University, came out, well, in 2005, but it was only last month that it made its way to the Kelly household, after my lovely wife heard something about it on the radio. Lisa's wife heard it. Maybe she changed her mind. So like Galileo, my once heretic views have been proven correct. It turns out I was right all along. I didn't gloat. I'm a lover, not a gloater. Oh, my. Let's pat yourself on the back a little bit more, dude. And what I love is not making the bed, so I stopped. So did my lovely wife, Ruth. But it turns out that the way Ruth doesn't make a bed is different from the way I don't make a bed. Her unmade bed is neater than mine. She pulls back the comforter, then the blanket, then the sheet, then folds them crisply over the foot of the bed. Take a break here so I can regain my reading ability. My unmade bed looks like what you think of when you hear the phrase, it looks like an unmade bed. A lumpy landscape of rumpled bedclothes. I guess I have to up my not making the bed game. In the meantime, there's something else I'm hoping to get better at not doing. Over the summer, we were re-landscaping around our house. This involved removing most of the grass in the front and backyards and replacing it with beds. There's that word again, of native plants, raking leaves off grass. Yeah, I could see him saying that raking leaves is a waste of time too. Is easy compared to making it out of newly mulched beds that are studded with fresh plants of various sizes. We asked the landscape designer how to best rake the leaves. Her suggestion, don't rake them at all. Leave them where they are and let them break down, providing nutrients to the soil as they decompose. Once again, laziness is my friend. I may celebrate with a nap. Oh, man. I have a friend up in the Minneapolis area that has an obsessive compulsive neighbor with a disorder where he has to run his leaf blower like at 8 a.m. in the morning next door to my friend who rescues dogs from puppy mills. And he's been complaining about that on Facebook. So I made the comment, well, why don't you get your neighbors together and file a complaint against this dude? There's like no reason to run your leaf blower at 8 a.m. Can't you wait till later in the day, dude? But there you go, folks. Yeah, you don't have to make your bed. It can help get rid of dust mites. I can hear men cheering and applauding across the globe that listen to this program. I'd like to backtrack a little bit. I was talking about running fireplaces and campfires at your bedtime to help you try to sleep for anxiety. When I listen to them, when I get too warm by listening to the fireplace crackling, I turn down the volume. Now let's turn to my attention to last Saturday night. I was at a local brewery, pub, and grill with another resident from my apartment complex. And the tables were kind of close together. And here I was trying to handle a couple beers. And one lady who was wearing a very tight pair of leggings had her legs out so I couldn't pass. So I politely asked her to move her legs so I could get through to my table. And she goes, she started whining about it and called me a jerk. And I was, that I was staring at her hoo-ha. No, I'm just asking you to move your legs so I can get to my table. She goes, jerk. And she finally moves. And I go, yeah, I'm sure you're wearing those leggings so guys will look at your shoes, right? And even camels would be impressed with that toe. And luckily, I avoided the glass being thrown at my head. A bright side to the story, she was ejected from the bar. So we had to toast over that one. I wanted to shout,
you dick!
But I was assuming that she didn't have one.
You use your tongue prettier than a $20 whore.
Keep on smoking that crack, bitch!
That was legitness.
Now let's move on to something completely different.
This sucks.
That is what the January 6th Capitol rioters are finding out. Breaking news, prison sucks. The warped expectations January 6th rioters have of incarcerated life are the product of culturally ingrained ignorance. On Sunday, dressed in spandex leggings, we got leggings again, and a workout top while she filmed herself in the mirror, Jenna Ryan patted her exposed stomach and even weighed herself on camera while asking TikTok viewers to avert their eyes from her feet because she's been too freaked out to have a pedicure lately. At first, I thought this woman was the advertising real estate agent at the riot, but I'm not sure. Okay, so here's the deal, said Ryan. The first week in January, I have to report to prison. And the only thing that I can see that's good about having to go to prison is that I'm going to be able to work out a lot and do a lot of yoga and detox. For her role in storming the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2020, Ryan, a Texas real estate agent, was sentenced to 60 days in jail. Everyone's telling me that I'll lose weight, she continued. So hopefully I'll finally get down to my ideal weight because I won't be able to drink and I won't be able to eat stupid stuff like chips. You have to look at the bright side of everything you do, and that's what I'm trying to do, so wish me luck. Oh yeah, I'm gonna wish you luck. The video cuts as she flashes a quick thumbs up to the camera. After heavy criticism and a flurry of media attention, Ryan posted a second video clarifying, I do not think prison is going to be a great time at all. Yeah, you're going to be throwing parties every night and eating lobster and crab cakes, I'm sure. The only benefit of going to prison is that I'll be able to read books. That's all there is to do, read books and work out. The bizarre, though more humbling, follow-up has dropped. These videos, which went viral after being reposted to Twitter, are the kind of social media antics that characterize the people who broke into the Capitol last January 6th. Ryan is particularly a shining example. The 50-year-old documented her private jet flight to the Stop the Steal rally, posted incessantly from the riot itself, and then months later tweeted publicly that she would not be going to jail because she's a white woman with blonde hair. Yes, really. Yeah, you're going to get out of that, just like getting out of a traffic ticket with your looks. Ryan's initial TikTok is jarring because it's particularly a heady cocktail of delusion and ignorance. Like when she says she hopes she'll have access to protein bars and plans to lose 30 pounds, an average of half a pound a day. Still, her ideas about what prison life will be like didn't materialize. Out of thin air, she's living in a culture that connects incarceration and getting jacked so deeply that there are jail-themed gyms and fitness programs, often but not always the product of the formerly incarcerated, that promise to give people a prison-style workout. It's the same culture that pushes prisons and punishment as a one-size-fits-all solution for social ills. But that solution only works if you don't know about what being incarcerated is actually like, and you don't think about who the incarcerated population is actually made up of. Well, hopefully there's a really tough-looking Karen there that wants to make her prison bitch. Some of Ryan's J6 compatriots made headlines in October decrying the unimaginable, unsustainable horror of Washington, D.C. jail conditions. For the first 120 days in D.C.'s Gitmo, January Sixers experienced daily lockdowns for 23 to 24 hours before being allowed to leave their 120-foot square-foot cell. Capitol rioter Nathan DeGrave said in a letter tweeted by his lawyer, "The physical and mental anguish that results from this kind of severe isolation has caused many people to go on a rapid mental decline. As a result, a large percentage of us are heavily medicated with anti-anxiety and antidepressant drugs, which helps to cope with the psychological and mental abuse we endure." Yeah, man, no shit. That's what happens when you're in jail. Direct experience with incarceration will instantly illuminate the entire prison system's constant barrage of banal horrors. But ironically, the people most likely to be incarcerated are the ones who the powers are that be are least likely to listen to. That's why it's no coincidence that DeGrave's concerns, which also included medical neglect, non-functional sewage systems, shitty food, and visitation interruptions, turned out to be identical to the ones that other people detained in the same jails have been raising for years, which only intensified during COVID-19. It's in the carceral system's best interest that we don't understand that what we're asking for when we ask for someone to be sent to jail or prison. It's very important we don't think very hard about what everyday life is like for the people we can find and for the people who love them. Because if a critical mass of people knew and acknowledged the fact that daily systemic human rights violation are the dominant feature of the lives of the 2.1 million people incarcerated in the U.S. The system might lose its stranglehold on the concept of justice. Instead, the near inevitable end result of our societal ignorance is a woman envisioned herself leaving a U.S. prison, one of the most toxic environments on the planet. Detoxed, better read, and finally at her goal weight. Well, hopefully she'll be right atop of the real estate heap when she gets reinstated, if ever. Next, I have some TikTok audio of Jenna Ryan's what she thinks prison life is going to be like. She's going to be incarcerated in about 3 weeks in this TikTok audio.
At the first week in January, I have to report to prison. And the only thing that I can see that's good about having to go to prison is that I'm going to be able to work out a lot and do a lot of yoga and detox. And also, I can't eat because the food is awful. And there's just no food. So hopefully they have like some protein shakes and some protein bars, I think, because you don't want to eat like green bologna. That's what they have to eat. So I'm going to end up losing weight in prison. Everyone's telling me that I'll lose weight. So hopefully I'll finally get down to my ideal weight because I won't be able to drink. I won't be able to eat. I won't be able to eat like stupid stuff like chips and all the stuff I eat sometimes. So I just wanted to go ahead. Don't look at my toes because I'm too freaked out to have a pedicure lately. But this is how much I weigh today. And I'm thinking that I can get down to, you know, 140. So 30 pounds in 2 months. If I do that, then it will be worth going to prison for 60 days. If I can lose 30 pounds. It would be so worth it. So you have to look at the bright side of everything you do. And that's what I'm trying to do. So wish me luck.
Happy now, asswipe.
Well, I would like to tell Jenna, maybe the first thing you should think about before you think about losing weight is how much I regret being such a moron for being at the Capitol riot in the first place.
Initiating shutdown sequence.
All I would like to say is you can check out my Facebook page for a short little video if you'd like. And also you can make a donation to this infotainment podcast at randyms12@gmail.com via PayPal.
Evacuation order acknowledged.
Keep it real, homies.